I mean, when we look at all this, that is, of course, a big question in terms of what the expectations are and what we hear from Jay Powell, if those are going to match up. And for more on that, I want to bring on one more voice here. Jordan Jackson, JP Morgan Asset Management Global Market Strategist, joins us now. And Jordan, I mean, when we look at it, you heard Brian walking through kind of what he's going to be watching for. In terms of what you're going to be watching for and the market, it sounds like the number of asset purchases in terms of what the taper looks like is top of mind.
I would agree. More or less, I do think it's somewhat of a foregone conclusion. I think, if the Fed, it would be a surprise if the Fed doesn't start tapering or announce tapering this afternoon. But yes, we are expecting an official taper announcement, a tapering by about $15 billion per month. There is a bit of a question whether they start in mid-November or they start in mid-December. But generally speaking, they should be finished the tapering process by the middle of next year. I think one area where the Fed, where Jerome Powell might try to push back ever so slightly, is this aggressive pricing of rate hike expectations. And while the last meeting suggested that the median FOMC participant suggested one rate hike, again, as was mentioned, you're now starting to see two rate hikes pricing by the end of 22 with an upside to three. And I think that's just very aggressive, right? Their new flexible average inflation targeting framework in general allows for these periodic inflation overshoots. Yes, it is certainly being a bit more persistent than initially anticipated, but it does allow them to be a bit more comfortable in keeping rates low, even in the face of higher inflation. So he may push back on that a bit in his press conference comments.
Well, Jordan, I just want to kind of stick with this, talking about those potential rate increases and what we're seeing in the bond market, what the bond market may be forecasting. We've seen the 10-year T-note yield, bond volatility has been elevated, moving in both directions from day to day, seemingly. But on the longer term, we've seen break-even rates, one of the two components of the yield that we understand. Those have been shooting higher, but we haven't seen real yields really pick up just yet. Can you put it all together? Is bond market forecasting anything in particular that we should be focusing on?
I do think there are some policy undertones to the movements that we're seeing. And I think part of it is recognizing that as the sort of fiscal initiatives come to the table, I think the markets are sort of viewing them as being more inflationary, not necessarily having a broader impact on actual growth or having a bigger multiplier on real economic growth, really just providing a more of an inflationary impact to the economy. And so I think that's why you've seen break-evens, generally speaking, be the primary driver of why nominal yields have moved higher. I still think, though, when you look at any sort of fundamental model, real yields continue to be well below their fundamental drivers. Where real yields are trading at today, that would suggest that growth over the next couple of quarters into next year will be flat to negative. And we're just not seeing that, right? We're expecting growth to continue to run well above trend, really bouncing back in the fourth quarter and that momentum carrying through the first half of next year. So, I think there are also some technical aspects as well. We know there's a lot of liquidity that's been injected in the system. And given the challenges around the debt ceiling, not a whole lot of treasury bill issuance. And so you still have this technical dynamic where there's a lot of money out there and not enough bonds to buy. So I think that's keeping a lid on yields as well. But after a resolution on the debt ceiling, I do think that bonds will finally sort of, or long rates will finally break out of this sort of trading range that they've been in for the last few weeks and finally move higher. And that really firms our expectations of steeper curves in the months ahead.
For the investors watching right now too, Jordan, I mean, when you look at kind of the sectors that could benefit from all what you're describing there, in terms of a steepening yield curve, it looks like you still like financials. That's one we've talked about this year and kind of enjoying in some of that talk, along with energy, industrials. I mean, what maybe stands to gain the most when you look at a sector by sector basis from some of that and kind of where we go in year end and into next?
Well, those sectors that you mentioned, I still think, there's more room to run in financials, energy, industrials, materials. And I think even from a size perspective, I still think that there's some room to be run within small caps. You've seen small caps over the last couple of days have some pretty big days relative to large. And given the cyclical value exposure within small caps, if you think about small cap financials, right, their bread and butter is lending, right? So steeper curves are going to directly benefit those net interest margins. And so I think, even from a size perspective, small caps after pretty much a 6-month run where they were sort of lagging can finally have their time in the sun.
Well, we're going to leave it there. Jordan, thank you very much. We're going to have you back to talk about all things Fed, maybe before Powell's departure or staying date. I guess that's up in January as well. Jordan Jackson, JP Morgan Asset Management, Global Market Strategist. Thanks for being here.